more important that we get away in our spiritual lives as well. That we get away from the chaos, we get away from the distraction, from unhealthy environments and relationships, all so that we can get closer to God. And today, we're going to continue this series. Last week, Steve did a great job in starting us off with this idea of what do we bring with us when we're getting away. And he brought his passport with him. We bring our IDs. We bring our real ID. Maybe some of you guys have those. And so as I'm preparing for this week, I'm thinking, well, what else do we bring with us? First thing that comes to my mind is what I got here in this bag. See, I throw this bag in my suitcase when I go. And I think you guys all have a bag like this where maybe you have some shampoo, a toothbrush, I got somewhere in there a razor, right? We all bring things with us that we can get clean, right? We have this need, we have this desire to get clean, to bring those things with us because we want to stay physically clean while we're getting away. And maybe you've been on one of those trips or you've been with someone where they forget something in there. I have two young kids. I also travel with students a lot. And there are times where someone forgets something. And I'll be honest, I've forgotten things myself. But what happens is you have that panic moment when you go to brush your teeth at night and you realize, I don't have a toothbrush in my bag. And then what do? If you're at a hotel and you're not one of those crazy people that love camping, you go downstairs to the front desk and you say, hey, can I have a toothbrush? Because they usually have them at a hotel. Hotel people, I love you. Camping people, I still don't get you. But this is what you do. You go downstairs, and if they don't have one, you're still in civilization so that you can go drive to CVS or Walmart and get what you need. Because, again, you have this need to get clean. You have this desire to get clean. Today, as we walk through this idea of getting away in our spiritual lives, it's not just about our physical need to get clean, but a spiritual need as well. To walk through this, we're going to be walking through Psalm 51 together. So wherever you're at, whether you're online with us or you're right here, go ahead in your Bibles, turn to Psalm 51, because that's where we're going to be for the majority of this morning. And what you need to know about Psalm 51 is that this is David, King David. And this is his response to his wrongdoings, to his mistakes, to his poor choices and bad decisions, to his sin. And we're not going to get into what all that is. If you're interested in it, I would highly encourage you to go read 2 Samuel chapter 11. And if you're someone that says, hey, I really don't enjoy reading my Bible, you will if you read 2 Samuel chapter 11. You're going to have a hard time putting it down because if you like scandals and just crazy situations, this is the spot in the Bible for you. If you love like romance novels and that sort of thing, go to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and you will have a hard time putting your Bible down because of just the chaos, the horrible situation that David gets himself into. And you won't believe some of the things that you read there. And I swear, you will have a hard time putting your Bible down if you start reading there. But what you need to know for this morning, we're going to focus in on David's response to that situation. We're going to focus in on his heart. And what we need to know about David's situation is that it's just horrific. It's horrible. It's like worst case scenario. It really can't get any worse than what he was going through. And it is just filled with bad decisions and poor choices. So understanding that, we're going to be in Psalm 51 to see his response, not only about himself, but to God. And here's what I want you to catch as we go through this, that awareness leads to movement. Throughout Psalm 51, we're going to see that awareness leads to movement. And this is just a logical, practical idea, that if you become aware of something, then you move. If you become aware of something and it's good, maybe you move towards it. If it's bad, you move away from it. Let me give you an example. Lindsay and I, when we had our first family vacation years ago, what happened is we went down to Florida. We went during the winter so we could get away from the snow because I'm not a snow person and I love warm weather. So we went down to Florida and we had an amazing vacation together. Our first ever family vacation and it was a great time. We're heading to the airport. We're ready to fly back. They cancel our flight because of a storm that was happening here in Rhode Island. And they cancel us because of weather. And this was some years back. Some of you might remember this storm, this winter here in Rhode Island, because it was just one storm after another, after another, after another. And what happened is there were already flights canceled previous to ours. So those people were already taking up the next flights that we would have been able to get on. So they told us, Lindsay and I, becoming aware of our situation, we went to the desk and we said, hey, when can we get back to Rhode Island? And they said, probably about a week from now. And we said, well, we're aware of our financial situation, and we can't afford to be here for another week. What do we do? What's going to happen? And so they said, well, you know what? We can probably get you home sooner if we fly you from Florida to Houston, and maybe it'll be like 4 days in Houston, and then you can get home. But again, awareness. We were aware that there was another string of storms coming, and we said, well, what happens when they cancel our flight from Houston because of the storms that are coming? Then we're going to be stuck in Houston, not even Florida. I don't know anything about Houston. So our awareness led us to movement. What we did is we ran downstairs as fast as we could. And we got our bags back from the airline. And then we ran further downstairs. And we went and we tried to rent a car as quick as we could. And we got one of the last cars. We went to a few counters. Nothing left, nothing left. We finally got to a counter. And they had like one car left. We said, we'll take it, whatever it is, and we drove home to get out ahead of the coming storms that were still coming. Awareness leads to movement. Right now, in our world, awareness leads to movement. There is an awareness of a global pandemic, and it has caused people to move in one way or another. Awareness leads to movement. So what you're going to see in Psalm 51 is that awareness leads to movement. But what I want you to catch is that David has a God awareness. A God-sized awareness. And that leads him to ask for a God-sized movement. And then you'll see that David has a self-awareness. And that prompts him to self-movement. So follow with me as we go through this. But first we're going to see his God awareness. His understanding of who God is, what God's character is. And we're going to be right at the beginning of Psalm 51. Here's what David says. He says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt and purify me from my sin. Now, what do you see here is an awareness of whose mercy but of God's mercy. See, David knows that he probably could use the mercy of the people around him as well, the people that he wronged. But what he has an awareness of is that God's mercy is more important than any of it. He understands the effect and the realization of his errors. He knows that he needs God's mercy on him, but he knows that he can also receive God's mercy because of God's unfailing love. Because it's a perfect love, and it's a love that will be there for David no matter what he did. But what I want you to catch here is that David says, it's because of your great compassion that you're going to be able to remove the stain of my sins, the guilt, the shame that came with David's wrongdoings. Sometimes I think we throw around this word compassion, and we don't really necessarily get the depth of what it is or what it means. Now, I know I've done this myself. And here's how I want us to walk through this idea of compassion today. Is I want you to think of empathy demonstrated. Empathy demonstrated. So empathy is being able to feel what someone else is feeling. If they hurt, you hurt. If they're struggling, you're struggling. If they're sad, you're sad. But compassion is when you actually act on that empathy, when it actually causes you to go and do something about it. And see, you've all had compassion for other people. This is a regular part of what we do. Some more than others. But here's where I want to see you, that you have shown compassion to people in your life. Because when someone that you know has someone that passed away in their life, you show up at the calling hours or at the funeral or at the memorial service. That's empathy. You're hurting because that person is hurting, but you've actually taken action and gone and shown up and let that person know that, hey, I am here for you. I am here beside you in this time. That's compassion played out. When you know a family and they just had a newborn baby and you say, hey, I remember what that was like. We were exhausted. I'll tell you, like, Lindsay and I, we were exhausted when we had our first kid. A lot of you know what that's like. You've felt that before. And so you have that empathy. You can feel what that person's feeling. But compassion is when you demonstrate, it's empathy demonstrated. There's an action based on that. And so it comes to your mind. You say, hey, you know what? I'm going to bring a meal over to that family. So that way they can just get the rest that they need so that they can worry about one less thing. That's compassion. Empathy demonstrated. And David says that this is who my God is. He's a compassionate God. Not just any compassion, but a great compassion. He says, God, you're not just looking down at me from up in the skies and saying, man, David, you are making mistake after mistake after mistake. Why don't you get it? He says, it's not even that. God is not just looking down and saying, David, I hurt with you. I suffer with you. I feel your bad choices with you, but I wish that there was something you could do about it. He says, no, God, you are a compassionate God. That you feel what I'm feeling right now, but you understand the mess that I'm in, and you are right here in the mess with me. That you're letting yourself know, like you're letting yourself be known that you are through it all with me and that you are willing to get involved in my situation right here, right now with me. And he says, because of that, he says, you can remove the stain of my sins and you can wash me clean from my guilt. Now, that was David's God awareness. I want you to catch his self-awareness and understanding of what he did and who he is. Let's continue in verse 3. It says, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone I have sinned, and I have done what is evil in your sight. David is confessing to God right now what has happened. He's confessing that he has sinned against God, that he has done wrong against God. And what I want you to catch is that David says, I recognize my rebellion. I recognize what I have done has hurt myself. It's hurt my relationship with others. But what we see here is that David doesn't stop there. He understands that it is hurting his relationship with God. It is distancing his relationship with God. And he says, it haunts me day and night. What about you? Have you ever had one of those moments where you said something, you made a decision, you did something, and it haunted you day and night? I think most of us have. I know I have a bunch of those, so maybe I'm worse off than you guys. But I know that I have those. And the first one that popped in my mind, I was a young teenager. I was probably like 13 years old. And my brother was working on this school project where they were molding plastic together to build different structures. And I was so enthralled by it. I was so jealous of him because that was not what school was like for me. And how come he got to do this fun project and I was stuck just in books and doing all that. And so what happened is he finished his project. Everyone was out of the house. And I said, hey, you know what? He left all his stuff out. I'm going to build my own structure. That's so cool. And so I took that plastic and I started melting it. The problem is he was molding, right? I was like literally melting. And so I was turning this plastic into liquid. And what I realized really quick is that it was stinking up the house like really bad. And I knew that that wasn't good. And I knew I was doing things that I shouldn't be doing. So what did I do? I moved outside. I said, let's get this out so that way I don't stink up the house. But I couldn't just stop myself there. Like I couldn't say, hey, maybe this is a bad idea. I kept going. I said, let me continue to make something. So I went outside and I'm melting this plastic like completely. And a gust of wind comes and takes all the plastic and it folds it right onto my hand. I have a horrible burn all over my hand. My skin starts bubbling up, gets all gross, starts peeling right off immediately. It's disgusting. And what happened is, I had to go to the hospital. And so as my parents take me to the hospital and my parents and the doctors are asking me what happened, I made up some crazy story about what happened. I don't even remember what it was, but it was not true. I know that much. And you know, for days, for weeks, that haunted me day and night. Because when I went to sleep at night, I said, how am I going to keep this up? How am I, like, there's no way my parents won't figure this out. And then during the day, well, my older brother knew what happened. And every time he opened his mouth, like just the tiniest bit, I said, oh no, this is the moment. He's going to spill it out. He's going to tell them what happened. And it throughout the days, it just haunted me. See, David says, this is what's happened to me, but just on such a larger scale for him. But he says, it's killing my relationship with the people around me. It's killing myself. And it's doing so much damage to my relationship with God. I wonder about us. Are we willing to really just confess and admit where we're at? Are we willing to actually admit that we did something wrong? Or do we get so caught up in our own self-justification, our self-righteousness, that we have to be right about absolutely everything, that we could never get to this point where David is, that we could never have this kind of self-awareness that, yes, I did something wrong. Yes, I said something wrong. Yes, I hurt someone else. But see, what David's showing here is so much strength, so much wisdom that he could actually go to God and say, God, what I did was so wrong. It's haunting me. But God, it was wrong against you as well. I challenge you that if you're not thinking that way, if you're not open to talking to God that way, would you start that? Would you start that kind of practice in your life? So remember, Dave had a God awareness, and now that is leading him to ask for a God-sized movement. Here's where it is. Verse 10. David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. See, right here, when David asks for God to create in him a clean heart, he is asking for God's forgiveness. He's asking for God to take away the guilt and the shame that he has. But what's so important to notice is that David doesn't just ask for forgiveness and then hopefully receive that forgiveness and then he's done with it. But in the same breath, in the same thought, he says, God, would you also not just clean my heart, but would you renew a loyal spirit in me? Would you change my heart as well? Would you have me start making decisions that are towards you? Would you have me live my life in a way that is getting closer to you? Instead of just asking for your forgiveness and moving on. I think those of you that are Christ followers in the room and online, you know what this is like. You know that sometimes we get into this rut where we have an understanding of what God's forgiveness is and that it will show up in every moment. And so we just accept that forgiveness, but then we keep living our lives the same way. David says, God, I'm not okay living like that anymore. He says, God, I need you to clean my heart, but will you also renew me back to you? Would you have my life and everything that I do and my decisions and my thought process, would you have me point it back to you? And he says, God, when you do that, he says, you're going to bring me great joy. You're going to give me the best, not just any joy, but the joy of my salvation, the greatest joy that I ever experienced in my entire life. I'm going to be able to live in that joy each and every day. And he says, to the point that my lips, they're going to be open wide because I'm going to be telling people about what you've done in my life, how you do it, and how amazing you are. He says, God, I'm asking you to do that kind of movement in my life. And here's our bottom line for today. This is what you need to catch right out of that verse, that a clean heart is a changed heart. A clean heart is a changed heart. Because a clean heart, when we really, truly receive God's forgiveness, when he takes that guilt and that shame and just that haunting of day and night, when he takes that from us, and you actually receive that, you can't help but want to be turned back toward God. You can't help but want to get closer to him. And so if your heart really has been cleaned by God, then you know that you need to keep moving in that direction. You know and you understand that it's not just about, God, forgive me this one time, but God, would you renew my loyalty to you? Would you have me live a life that is chasing after you? And that's where David, he goes from self-awareness, but that leads him to a self-movement. Here's where we're at. Verse 16. We're almost at the end of the psalm. He says, you do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit, and you will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Now, I want to pause here before we get into this, and I want you to think about what's happening in Psalm 51. Remember, we've talked about getting away to get closer. Would you look at the practicality of what David did in just writing this psalm? Remember, a psalm is a poem, it's a song, right? David was living a life where he was making bad decisions, where he was just sinning against God. And what David had to physically, literally do is he needed to get away. He needed to actually go sit down, and what did he do? He wrote out this psalm. Why? The whole psalm is about his relationship with God. He needed to get closer to God. So he moved away from the situation that he was in. Remember, we talked about getting away, getting out of those unhealthy environments and relationships. That's what David did, literally, as he wrote this psalm, is he got out of those unhealthy environments so that he could get closer to God. Now, look at what he says. He says, God, you didn't want a burnt offering. You don't want that kind of sacrifice. I think at this point in David's life, At this moment, that if God had said, David, I want 10,000 burnt offerings, David was the king. He would have made it happen. That's how repentant he was. That's how much he wanted to restore his relationship with God. But he says, God, that's not the sacrifice that you want. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit, and you will not reject a broken and repentant heart. Now remember, to repent just means to change direction. Literally, to change direction. So he says, God, you'll never reject a heart, no matter how far it is from you, no matter how far it's moved away from you, as long as it's turned back towards you, you're never, ever going to turn that away. But then he says, you'll never reject a broken heart. Now what you need to catch here is that this is not a broken heart like I was in fourth grade and I wrote this girl a note and I said, circle yes or no, and she circled no and she broke my heart. It's not a broken heart as far as romance goes. This is a heart that has realized just how far from God it is. This is a heart that has gotten to the point that it begins to understand that the decisions, the choices, the movements, the life that's been lived has created more distance from itself from God. This is the kind of broken heart that David's talking about. And no one wants their heart to be broken. No one enjoys their heart to be broken. But I think it's necessary in order for us to get closer to God. You know, when you clean a room or you clean your house and it gets messier before it gets better? The same thing here, that when you can actually understand, when you can have that self-awareness of just how far from God you are, it's going to hurt. It's going to get a little bit messy. But in the end, it's going to bring you back towards God. Because remember, a clean heart is a changed heart. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to catch this one idea, because I know as we walk through this that this can get a little confusing, as far as sometimes we say, hey, but not for me. You guys have heard people say, if I ever walked into a church, that place would ignite instantly, right? And what I want you to see, if you're that person, if you feel that way, that there isn't a single story that is exempt from God's forgiveness. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what choices you've made. It doesn't matter what decisions have happened in your life. It doesn't matter who you've hurt or how you've been hurt. It doesn't matter what your self-image is of yourself or how bad your self-image is of yourself. There is not a story in the world that is incapable of being forgiven by God. You need to know that, and you need to hear that today, that your story is just as capable of receiving forgiveness as anyone else's. And here's how we see that play out. So David, I told you, we're not going to get into his mess, but I want to bring you to 2 Samuel 12. And what happened really quick is that this prophet Nathan, someone who was in tune with God, he approaches David and he says, David, I know everything that's happening. And here's what happens. It says, David confessed to Nathan. He says, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan replies, he says, yeah, David, you did sin against the Lord, but the Lord has forgiven you. And look at this. He says, and you won't die for this sin. The same is true for me and for you. Remember, David's story is like worst case scenario. It's horrific. It was horrible. It was terrible. Nathan says, David, you've been forgiven by God. Whatever your story is, you can receive that same forgiveness from God. And look at this. He says, and you won't die for the sin. And the same is true for you. You could have eternal life in heaven if you can receive that great compassion from that unfailing love that we saw all the way back at the beginning of this psalm. The great compassion, remember, empathy demonstrated. God's compassion, his empathy demonstrated, was through his son Jesus. So that way you could have a restored relationship back with him. So whatever your story is, I'm asking you, would you receive that compassion this morning? That great compassion. Whatever your story is, whatever your past is, would you not go a minute longer? Maybe you've been in the church for years and this is just something you've heard over and over again. Would you let it be real for you today that that's the great compassion that's offered for you? Maybe you've never experienced that and maybe you're watching at home or you're watching on a bus on your phone. I don't care where you're watching. Would you not go a minute longer without receiving that great compassion? No matter what has happened in your life or what decisions you've made, would you receive that compassion today? And that brings us right into our next steps. That for the first time, I'm aware of who God is, a God awareness, and my need for Him. Today, I've decided to begin my relationship with Him. I really do ask you, would you begin that relationship with God if you've never done that before? Would you say, God, you know my past, you understand my past. But God, just like you forgave David, you forgive me as well. And would you have that eternal life? Would you not die from your sin, knowing that God has forgiven you? Here's our second next step. That this week, I'm going to make confession a daily part of my life. You know, I think a lot of times we fall into this trap where we forget to have that self-awareness. And so when we talk to God, when we pray to God, what do? We maybe praise Him and we say, God, you're so awesome. And God, thank you for the things that you're doing in our lives. And God, would you give me this and this and this? Or would you do this? Would you show up in this certain way? But I know if I think about myself, I forget to have that self-awareness and just confess to God. And if I'm being honest, man, I got so many things that I confess to God each and every day. And so I'm going to be taking this challenge this week. But I ask, would you do that right alongside with me? Would you make confession, a self-awareness, a regular part of your life this week? And here is our last next step for today. That I've been carrying too much on myself, and I need to ask God for His forgiveness. For a God-sized movement and a clean heart. Would you stop trying to fix everything yourself? And would you start to ask God to show up in the way that only He can show up? Would you ask Him for that clean heart and for that renewed loyalty back to Him? For a changed heart? See, there's nothing that you and I can do to make that happen other than some of our decisions, but it's the work of God and the work of the Holy Spirit that's going to make that happen. It's His movement and not ours. So would you ask God to do that in your life as well? Let me pray for us. Father, we just say thank you so much for getting to understand who you are, that you are a merciful God, that even though we may have gotten away from you in a negative way, that you still want and desire for us to get closer to you. God, thank you that you are a God with unfailing love and with great compassion. Thank you for how you demonstrated your empathy back to us. And so God, we do ask for that God-sized movement in our lives, that you would show up in a way that we never could, and that you could give us those clean hearts and that renewed loyalty back to you. God, thank you for how we are going to see people who have made that commitment and demonstrated that through baptism. We are so excited for the steps that those people have taken in their lives. And God, we praise them right alongside you. We pray this in Jesus' name.